The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. You may have been taught that the earth is going to burn up, totally destroyed when Christ returns. No earth left, no earth to live on after Christ returns. Some teach and preach that. Well, is that true? Will the earth be destroyed at Christ's return? Will Christ rapture the saints and take them to heaven and destroy the earth? You probably have been taught that. Perhaps you think the Bible teaches that. Well, does it? Let's take a look at the passage used to support this teaching. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now we know the Bible tells us that in many places, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to catch people by surprise. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will burn up. Is this verse telling us that the earth will burn up? That is, the ground that we walk on, and that produces the food we eat? Does it mean the earth will no longer exist? Does it mean God is going to completely destroy one of his great creations, planet Earth? Think about this, my friends. That would mean there would be no resurrection of all the billions and billions of people which have lived and died since the creation of man on this earth, because they would have no place to live when they would be resurrected. It would also mean that the saints would never inherit the earth, as the Bible promises they will. And the Bible brings this out in several places, that the meek will inherit the earth, and I want to quote several of them, beginning in Matthew 5 and 5, then we're going to go to the book of Psalms. Now, Matthew 5 and verse 5 says this, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, Christ said this. You can read that in your Bible. The meek shall inherit the earth. So the earth has got to continue to exist because the meek will inherit the earth. Notice Psalms 37, verses 9 through 11. "For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Very plain, isn't it? Those who wait on the Lord, speaking of the saints, will inherit the earth. Verse 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Yes, again, verse 11 says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Now notice verse 22, "For those who are blessed by him," that is by God, "shall inherit the earth, but those who are cursed by him shall be cut off." And Malachi 4 tells us when they will be cut off. Verse 29, "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." Yes, very plain, isn't it? The righteous shall inherit the land, that is, this earth, and dwell in it forever. Now notice verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it." Malachi 4 tells us when the wicked will be cut off. Yes, many times God tells us the meek or the righteous will inherit the earth forever. Well, how could that be if the earth is going to be totally destroyed and be no more? We must understand 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 in the context it is stated, which we will explain later. But first, I want you to know that to understand God's Word, you can't take a scripture out of context. You have to put the Bible together to understand it. And God warns us of that in Isaiah 28, beginning in verse 9. That's Isaiah 28, beginning in verse 9. "Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message?" That is God's message. Those just weaned from milk, those drawn from the breast. God is speaking about those that have a childlike attitude, humble, and wants to learn and obey. Now you may want to ask yourself, am I that way? Do I tremble at God's Word? Do I study God's Word? Or do I just take others' word for what the Bible says and means and never check on them to see if they are speaking and teaching God's Word truthfully and faithfully? Now notice Isaiah 28 and verse 10. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Verse 10 is telling us that God hasn't inspired the Bible to be written in a way that everything is in one verse or even one chapter, and often even in one book of the Bible. So you have to put the Bible, God's Word, together somewhat like a puzzle. You have to work to understand God's Word. So God says, here a little, there a little. Now, there are other requirements that you must meet to understand God's word as well. But let's go on here, verses 11 through 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Verse 11 is telling us that God has inspired his word so that only those who are willing to obey and have God's spirit can understand. And verse 12 is telling us God's word, his way, is the way to peace, rest, and the good life. But God says, we will not hear. We will not listen to him. And it's very evident when you look and see the condition that this world is in, it's very evident that we haven't obeyed our Maker. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and caught. In other words, so that they wouldn't understand because they aren't willing to obey. God makes it very plain in his word that he has blinded or has allowed the world to be deceived by Satan, the god of this age, because we aren't willing to obey. God isn't trying to save the world at this time of Satan's 6,000 years rule. You have to be willing to obey and receive God's spirit to understand God's word and his plan of salvation. So in verse 13, God repeats verse 10, wanting to let us know that it takes work, study, and an attitude of obedience and God's spirit to understand the plan of salvation and to understand God's word. Yes, you have to put the Bible together. It is like a puzzle that you put together piece by piece, and the Bible is line upon line, here a little and there a little. And God had it inspired to be written that way so that those that wouldn't obey wouldn't lose their chance for salvation. Now we know that 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. But it isn't telling us the earth will be burned up, totally destroyed, no longer exists when Christ returns. For we just quoted many scriptures stating the meek will inherit the earth, and there are many other scriptures to back that up as well. But notice Revelation 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Speaking of the very day that Christ returns back to this earth. So Christ is going to rule the earth, not destroy it. He isn't going to burn the earth up. His feet will stand in the day that he returns to this earth on the Mount of Olives. You can read that in Zechariah 14, verses 3 through 4. Notice what it says here in verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Now that's the day that he returns. And in that day, speaking of the very day that he returns to this earth, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Many, many other scriptures could be quoted, such as John 5, where it speaks of the resurrection, and Revelation 20 as well. And the second resurrection takes place 1,000 years after the return of Christ. You can read that in Revelation 20 and verse 5. So we have been putting line upon line, here a little and there a little, and much more proof could be given that the earth will exist, not burn up or be destroyed when Christ returns. But this should suffice. Now let's look at 2 Peter 3 in the context verse 10 is speaking of. Notice 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 9, because it begins to tell us the time setting of 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, this is verse 4 of 2 Peter 2, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now notice, they're reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Now notice verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So there is a day of judgment coming, and God has reserved and will reserve and preserve mankind. This passage is speaking of the time of judgment, or sentence of Satan and his demons, and of ungodly people that will not repent, that just continue to scoff and mock at the word of God. And there will be some that just won't repent and change, some that won't want anything at all to do with God's way after they have had the opportunity to do so, and they will wind up in the lake of fire. Notice Malachi 4, verses 1 through 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, God says we're going to trample the wicked because they will be ashes under the soles of our feet on the day that he does this. And that takes place, my friends, at least 1,100 years after Christ returns. Yes, when the wicked are burned up, it's at least 1,100 years after Christ returns, and the earth is still here, and the righteous will trample the ashes of the wicked under their feet. You need to understand God's plan for mankind, and we want to help you do that by offering, free of charge, our free booklet, God's Holy Days. You need to read this booklet and study your Bible along with it. You should want to know what's in store for this world. So all you need to do to receive this booklet, God's Holy Days, call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675, and request our free booklet, God's Holy Days, because God's Holy Days shows you and leads you and guides you along with the Bible to understand His plan of salvation. Leave us a message if we aren't there to answer. We will get in touch, or just mail your booklet to you. Or you can email us at thewayitoughttobe. That's thewayitoughttobe at hotmail.com. thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. If you have questions or comments, email them or give us a call. This is Pete Hornbuckle saying thanks for joining us today on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. And we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program on this station and several others as well. And we'll pick this topic up in our next program. Keep listening.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.